Hi, today I'm here with Mr. Osorio. Mr. Osorio, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for calling. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, so we'll just go right into the questions. The first question is, can you share about your childhood and what was it like growing up in New York City?
Oh, wow. That's cool. Okay. It was rough growing up in New York City. My mom and dad were there for a while, and then my mom became a single parent at maybe like 16. And that's when things changed. And my mom was very overprotective and didn't let me go outside and play with my friends and didn't let me have too much of a childhood. So when my dad left, I think that's when I grew up and I started rebelling. And I got into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I got into trouble and everything I learned the hard way.
Okay.
Because it wasn't my mom. It wasn't what I should have learned at home. I learned the hard way in the street. You just couldn't trust anybody. And I trusted everybody. I didn't know anything about anything. And I fell in love when I didn't even know what love was. And I thought I had friends, and those were not really my friends. And what else? And I did things that I wanted to grow up. I started smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to be a grown man. I didn't, like I said, I learned the hard way
mm-hmm.
about life, about growing up. So, and then of course there was fights, and people were jealous, and things were not what they seemed. And then I stopped going to school, and things got worse. Yeah, that was pretty much my childhood. Before I grew up, and I went to jail because of all those things, bring all that negativity. I went to jail a few times. My mom was there for me. She tried to be there for me. I got out, and it wasn't until a few times that I went to jail that I did learn my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I did remember, I did do a lot of good, because of the overprotectiveness of my mom, and I couldn't miss school. I couldn't ditch school. I couldn't be late. My mom disciplined me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess when I got older, I kind of understood with the trouble that I got into, I understood that my mom was trying to keep me from me going through things like that. So at some point I started understanding that all that was for a reason. So
mm-hmm.
I wasn't a dumb kid. I just wanted to, you know, learn. I wanted to grow up too fast. Anyways, I went back to school. After a while of going to jail, I got tired of that stuff. I got tired of the friends. I got tired of, I miss prom. I miss my girlfriend. I miss going out with my friends to the movies, to play outside. And I realized that I was in the wrong path.
Mm.
So at some point I went back to school and I learned a trade, and I went outside and I followed up on the trade, which was construction. And as soon as I got out, the teacher was a former construction worker. So he had given me some numbers so I could call when I got out. And that's exactly what I did. And I got myself into a trade school. And next thing you know, I landed myself in the job. And next thing you know, I was in a high-paying job. That life that I lived was behind me, and I fell in love, and I got married and had some kids, and it's been good ever since. It's been better ever since. Yeah. So that's my story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you share what led to your situation of becoming homeless?
A lot of that, I thought that I got that behind me
mm-hmm.
by getting married and having some kids, and there was some trauma pretty much, that was left behind from all that stuff. I saw too much, I did too much, and I felt, you know, I didn't, yeah, there was a lot of life. I lived very, very, very fast, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom disciplined me a lot, which would, today would be abusive. But back in the day, there was, back in the day, there was no such thing as, you know, I'm going to call it cops on you, mom. I would get my butt kicked, I guess, disowned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, yeah, calling the cops was out of the question. So I guess I took that abuse. I guess my mom was in mental health already when I was a kid. I remember going with her to mental hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand until, like, right now, I knew that she was seeking help for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because today, it's called being narcissist. She was a narcissist. And I guess back in her days also, physically disciplining them was a thing. So when it happened, it got passed on.
Mm-hmm.
So she passed it on to me.
Okay, yeah. So,
and
no, you can continue.
So it got passed on to me, and I spanked my kids. I passed that on, not too much, and not as much as I received it, because by the time I spanked my kids, it was more for a reason, not basically because I was bored or it was the thing to do. It was more for a reason, but nevertheless, it was still heavy-handed. And it didn't last that long because my wife had called the police on me.
Mm.
I was charged with child abuse, even though it was a slap in the face. He was, let me see, like 5 years old. I slapped him hard enough where there was blood that came out. So it wasn't really like a lot of abuse, but it was enough to put me in jail. Again, that was not, after living a regular, normal life, that was not a good feeling to go back to jail.
Mm-hmm.
It was already, like, really a dad. I was not a gang member no more. I wasn't into no any groups. I wasn't loud. And I went back to that crazy, crazy environment where everybody's just nuts. Everybody was just nuts. And then what it did was it continued to feed my trauma from behind that I still didn't treat, didn't look for any help. So, you know, I would get my emotion. I would get really emotional, really angry, really sad, really, you know, just didn't, still the childhood trauma would come up. I would get into trouble. I would stay away from people just to stay out of trouble. Sometimes I would get into trouble, and the next thing you know, instead of trying to avoid trouble, I'd get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that thing still, I couldn't get away from that. It was in the street. It was at home. It was a toxic relationship that I had. And I learned, and now that I am an adult, I learned that the trauma, I'm attracted to toxic people. I'm attracted to people like me that are crazy, I guess, inside. And I didn't know that. And then I was always constantly in this trouble or, you know, just near it. Or around people with tattoos or a drug problem, or they were abuser of some kind of something. And it was just like, I didn't like it, but I was always I was always around these people until I started to realize, you know, that I wanted to get away from the whole thing and all the time. Every time I tried. And then it was just sometimes the past, I guess, when you like I said, when you have a good start right now, if your mom or dad are there, or if you didn't grow up with a loud parent or a physical parent, or a loving and caring parent, because my mom was not loving and caring. She showed it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course she didn't get that same love, you know, from her mom. So she grew up, I guess, you know, pretty hard. So a lot of trauma, a lot of mental health that got me into the trouble or kept me from succeeding in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kept me. The mental health kept me from reaching out and enrolling into this in school or starting a new life like some people do, you know, or getting some new friends, some healthy friends, and healthy relationship. When I got married, my wife wasn't an angel either. She similar. You know, her mom neglected her when she was young. They were in Mexico. They were born in Mexico. She was passed on to her sister, and her mom came over here to America and just sent money home. And at home there was abuse. And by the time she came over here, she hung out with the same type of people, did the same type of thing, attracted herself with other people of her kind, like our kind. And then when I met her, supposedly we wanted to get rid of all that stuff, but I guess what we did was we brought that toxic relationship into our relationship.
Mm.
So we had a lot of fights, we had a lot of arguments, we had a lot of disagreements. She was 10 years older than me. So, and that didn't do me any good. Her being 10 years older than me, age doesn't matter, I guess, when you love each other. But I guess it wasn't love between us. It was love for me because I lacked the love. So that's what I was looking for. And I continued to look for it in the wrong places. So I take anything as love because I got mistreated so much that I took anything as love. Anything, even from my friends. And my friends say that they like me, whatever. That's it. My homeboys, I thought that they loved me. I felt that they loved me. So whenever they got in trouble, I got in trouble. If you didn't like them, you didn't like me either. You know? And I did things like that. She did things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess when the love, you know, it was just so much toxic behavior in the house that there was domestic violence. It was just me being loud. I didn't hit my wife or anything like that. But I think one time, I threw a, I was so mad at her that I threw a pot plant, not right by her. I didn't throw it at her, just out of the anger, I wanted to break something. So I threw it, and a piece landed in her face, and it wasn't much, but it was the beginning of the domestic violence that I went to jail for. She would say, you know, that I hit her, and I did this, and I did that, and it was not true. And then she would come visit me in jail, tell me she loved me, tell me she was sorry, and I'd get back with her. And this went on for a few years, and until I realized, you know, that I was in an abusive relationship. While she was telling the police officers that I was hitting her, because I got charged, she knew how to play that system. All she had to do was tell the police officer that I was violent, this, that, and the other, and then they would take me to jail. And because of all the records, my past record, I already looked like a bad guy. So things like that led me to be where I'm at today. And I had to leave everything that I love, because I knew that wasn't love. I was on TikTok the other day, and there was one reel that says, if it doesn't hurt you, if hurting me doesn't hurt you, then you never loved me, you know. Mm-hmm. So and I listened to that, and I started listening to a lot of, now I listen to nothing but those things. Mm-hmm. Anything that has meant to heal, anything about healing, I'm on it.
Okay. Yeah.
So I listen to a lot of self-healing, a lot of spiritual stuff, a lot of meditate. I do a little bit of meditating. I do a lot of, compared to what I used to do. I do a lot of meditating because there's a lot of mental health and emotional things that I go through that I like to heal. I like to deal with it. I like to deal with it. I like to face it. I like to understand it. And then I had a drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to a drug rehab, and that's where all that started.
Mm-hmm.
Now I started to heal myself mentally,
yeah,
and physically and spiritually, and I learned how to help other people with that. And then I really avoid people with other mental health. I avoid them. I don't, their problems are not my problems anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're a troublemaker, if you got a problem with anger, I'll be your friend until I know that I can't be your friend. I'm not gonna be your friend, you know, like I used to, you know, until I get into trouble. You know, if anything, I'll try to help you. And if you, and the minute that, you know, you're not interested, then it's time for me to go. It's time for me to go, and because I already know, I have a lot of experience about, you know, I could tell, you know, if you're a good person, if you're a bad person, if you need some help, if you don't want no help. I know people that, if you don't want to change, I know people that, if I want to learn, if you want to make a difference, if you do things for yourself, I already have an eye and an ear for things like that now. So it's easy for me to avoid trouble now.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't got into any more relationships. I don't have any friends. If I have any friends, they're from work. Church, I've tried church too, and I do a little bit of church, and I do that online. And because of my my trauma, I've developed, I'm talking to a psychiatrist, and she has mentioned I have bipolar, and I have some PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm.
So those are things that I already was familiar with. I was already proactive about it. I was looking it up on my own because it was hard to reach out and ask for help again. But because of the rehab, I remember when it was hard for me to share, like everybody used to have a turn to share about their experiences. So my counselor recommended that I journal.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started to journal, I had a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my healing through journaling.
Yeah. What motivated you to stop using substances?
Okay, when I was married, I had a car.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to take care of the kids. Back to school was on time. Birthdays was on time. We went out to eat. We had a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
So when I lost all that, that's what I wanted to get back.
Okay.
I wanted to get back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a bank account. I dressed different. We went to the movies. We went to dinner. We went to car shows. We went to, we went to Knoxbury Farm. We went to Disneyland. We went to Magic Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
There was Christmases. There was Thanksgiving. Those things. Yeah, I wanted it back. Yeah, I lost all that, and I wanted it back. That's what I wanted, yeah. And then I had my kids, and making my kids sad, and that made me sad, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad. I noticed that I was on top of the world. I was the greatest dad. I was the greatest stepdad. And I lost all that. That's what I wanted to get back. That was, yeah, that was a person, that was a me that I had lost. That's what I wanted to get back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a good life. I lived a good life, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you were experiencing homelessness, what would a typical day look like?
You know, the memories, they just don't go away. Every day I wake up, I think about my kids, but I also think about the bad times. So I was in a good place when I left. I was in a good place. It wasn't the homelessness, like living in a tent. I had a van. I bought me a van. I bought me a stove. I bought me a air fryer.
Mm.
I washed dishes. I had clothes. I went to work. I did, you know, construction. I'll do painting. I'll do floors. I'll do ceilings. I do inside, outside stuff. So I could, you know, I still had, luckily, I still had what I knew how to do. And I bought me a foam bed. I had a place to sleep. I kept away from all the craziness. That's one thing I did. That was the first thing. I knew I couldn't have friends because they didn't have the things that I had.
Yeah. How did you...
Yeah, go ahead.
How did you overcome homelessness?
How did I overcome homelessness? Let me see. I mean, in a way, I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the peace, it was so toxic. It was a lot of noise. And it's like, you know, I couldn't think. I knew I was in a bad place. And I didn't look at homelessness as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saving myself, really. I was saving myself from going back to jail. It got so toxic that I was scared that my wife was going to make up a story and just so she can get, you know, my things or keep my things or anything, or just out of malice, out of bad intentions, you know.
Yeah.
So I left the house. So homeless was like, oh, I kind of liked it. I loved it. That's when I did a lot of more spiritual. I worked on myself. Like when they say I worked on myself, I worked on myself spiritually. I walked, I exercised, I read a lot of books, and I listened to a lot of healing. A lot of, there's a lot of material out there where people are, doctors, psychologists, even patients are out there just putting it out on videos, and I'm just soaking all that up, and I'm just what they call enlightened. These are things that I didn't know, and learning at it, I'm learning things at 50. I'm 57 years old, and I'm still learning. You never stop learning. If there's anything I share with you guys, you never stop learning. You never stop learning. Yeah. So I overcame that. In the beginning, it was bad. People look at you down, of course, it gets me angry. I'll turn around, and because of the way I am, I'll tell them, "What are you looking at?" You know, and I make people turn around, and I'll shame them, or you know, it's like you know, they'll turn around and like, "Oh my God, I'm sorry." Okay, then, you know, you were staring there too long. You know, there's times where I would, you know. You know, because of the trauma and because of the insecurity that I have. It doesn't take much for me to feel insecure or for somebody to make me feel insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'll turn around and I'm like, what are you guys looking at? Oh, you know, and it's okay. And then I feel bad about doing that too, you know? But, and then, you know, after working with myself, I started to ignore that. You know, I started to ignore that. And I started to, except that this is the way society works, you know. Usually, people that work or have a family, they don't necessarily look down at you, but it's awkward, it's unusual, it's this, it's that. So, like you say, I overcame things like that. I overcame that, and I started to feel comfortable within myself because I know they don't know my story.
Yeah.
And if they only knew, they would understand, oh, I'm in a better place. I'm in a better place than when I was before. And you would be happy for me that I left the place because it was a bad place. It was always been a bad place. And I continued to make bad choices. The marriage, it was okay, but it wasn't the way your mom and dad would like you to start.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
Can I ask you, do you have your mom and dad?
Yeah.
Okay. It wouldn't be the way, because your mom and dad have an idea of, they would know if you're in love with the right person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they would know if things are going to go, you know, in a good way, you know, in a good loving, you know, the things that matter are there. And I didn't have a mom and dad to oversee, you know, and that's something else I would share with you, you know, that I had missing. I didn't have a mom and dad to supervise or guide me through things like that. So that's what happens when you don't, you know, your mom and dad are really important. Mom and pops are really important. So when I became a dad, I tried to be there as much as I could. I did homework with them. I bathed them. I dressed them. I went to school and always until the drug addiction came in. Mm-hmm. Tore that apart. Okay.
Did you ever seek help from government services or shelters or organizations, and what did you, if you did, what did you think about them?
Yes, I went into a drug rehab once I was in jail, and I was sober. It was the best time. I was really hurting, because if I would have went to jail and I would have left without seeking help, I most likely would have continued that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in jail, I asked so many people about drug rehabs, and I ran into so many people that have been to drug rehabs. They gave me the addresses. I wrote letters. I wrote like 6 or 7 letters to these recovery programs asking for help. Mm-hmm. And one of them came and visited me.
Yeah.
And they interviewed me and they accepted me. And as soon as I got out of jail, I was a part of, a 9-month program, a mm-hmm. live-in, and I lived in the rehab.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in the county facility, a government facility. You could say it's a government facility. And I lived there for 9 months, with other addicts, and it was a beautiful place. It was such a beautiful place. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. And mm-hmm. I was with others that felt the same way too, because a lot of us addicts, we really want to stop using. I mean, you see us, and a lot of us, you think we're having fun, but it's addicting. It's addicting. It's almost hard to explain, but it does something to the body, where the body asks for more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different than when we socialize, when we try drinking and we're having fun. It's past that. When you're drinking and when you're partying, when you're socializing, you go back to work, you go back to school like nothing. But if you do it long enough, it becomes addicting. You need mm-hmm. it. You're not partying.
Yeah.
You actually, it's like food. If you don't have it, you don't feel good. And when you don't feel good, it's different for everybody. You might get violent. You might not want to go to school. You might neglect yourself in some way and engage in risky behavior because you want it. If you want it, you're going to do whatever it takes. You're going to do whatever it takes. You might rebel against mom and dad, hang around the wrong people, lie, cheat, you know, just to cover up your, you know, because you want to live that lifestyle. It's a lifestyle too. And then the people that drink, you know, also are into other things. And
mm-hmm.
and it becomes a necessity. And but I was with I was with a lot of addicts that want to quit. A lot of addicts don't want to quit, and it's a lot of times they just don't want to quit. And a lot of times it's just that they don't know how to quit. And then there's the ones that do want to quit. There's the ones that they're sick and tired of being sick and tired of not having a life, and they want to do something about it. So yeah. I was with a lot of people that were just like me. They reached out and they reached out for help. Mm-hmm. And they got it. So that was encouraging. And so yeah. it was Narcotics Anonymous program. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I don't know if you've ever heard of it, of that. It's a drug program. Anyways, it's Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. They help mm-hmm. people get clean. And mm-hmm. of course, they have a book, they journal, there's meetings, there's a lot of, it's like going back to school. I swear it was, they had mm-hmm. me writing essays on issues that, they had me reach out, and if I didn't know about them, they told me to reach out and ask mm-hmm. others, what did you do to write this and that? I mean, there was an essay, I guess it was, I needed to write an essay on triggers of what, let me see, it was a while ago, but it was triggers, I didn't mm-hmm. know the word, and triggers are things that make you, you know, get mad, make you use, make you think of things. And mm-hmm. then obsessive and compulsiveness was two words that I didn't know, I wasn't familiar with. Mm-hmm. So I asked others that did essays on that, and I asked them, like you were asking me, hey, what did you, what kind of behavior was, how were you acting when you were obsessive and compulsive? And then they would tell me their version, and then I would ask somebody else, well, how would you act when you were obsessive and compulsive? And they would tell me how they would act. And then after a while, I'd get an idea, and I'm like, okay, I know. I remember when I was obsessive and when I was compulsive. So mm-hmm. obsessive is when you think about the drug, and then compulsiveness is when you actually act it out. Okay. And then you do it, repeat it, and repeat it, and repeat it, and repeat it. So it's kind of like getting to know your addiction and getting to know yourself, and when you're getting to know your behavior. So a lot of that, it was just capturing, you know. And then when you wrote essays, I had to write essays on guilt and shame, mm-hmm. which I had a lot of. I had a lot of guilt and shame. So I wrote essays on guilt, you know, because mm-hmm. a lot of times the money that was supposed to be for the house, for the milk, for the eggs, for the meat, for the rent, for the light, mm-hmm. I would use it for drugs. Mm-hmm. So when you get sober, you get a lot of guilt from that stuff. So I had a lot of guilt and shame from the things that I did, because I did those things when I was under the influence.
Yeah.
And usually when I'm normal, I wouldn't do anything like that. Mm-hmm. So when it did, it brought a lot of shame and a lot of guilt, and it made me use more. It made me use more because mm-hmm. drugs, they numb your feelings. Mm-hmm. When you're feeling pain, when you're feeling emotional pain, when you're feeling guilt, when you're feeling shame, when you're feeling insecure about yourself, when you use drugs, you forget about all that stuff. And that's what makes it more addictive.
Yeah.
You don't face life the way it is.
What advice would you give to someone if they were struggling with similar issues?
Again, say it again.
What advice would you give to someone struggling with similar issues?
Yes, I would. You have to look for help. Mm-hmm. You have to do the research. There's help out there. Everybody has. You could just go to the police department. You could go to the school. They have resources, and if they don't have resources, whoever they tell you to call, they have somebody else you can call. There's a hotline. Yeah. There's social media. There's social media. There wasn't social media when I first started getting high. Mm-hmm. Now you can ask Google, what can I do to stop using drugs? What mm-hmm. can I do if I'm being abused what can I do if I see somebody being abused? That's what I would recommend. Yeah, mm-hmm. to reach out, find some help. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I have one more question. That's good. What do you wish the public understood about homelessness and people who experience it?
I could only speak for my experience, because a mm-hmm. lot of people I know, I mean, it's my opinion that yeah. a lot of people don't want to do anything with their lives. It's only my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their situation is. I'm sure that they've gotten neglected. They didn't stay in school. Their parents gave them up. There are stories going on out like that. Mm-hmm. And then, and of course, there's people that had good families. I don't know why they're there. There's people that had, I was in rehab with people that had good families. They didn't do any gang. They just picked the wrong friends. Mm-hmm. And they ended up doing the wrong things. And then they got into so much trouble, because that's the bad thing about it. When you get into trouble and then you get a record, mm-hmm. and then when you want to do good, you want to go into nursing, you want to be a police officer, you can't.
Oh yeah.
You can't work for the mm-hmm. you can't work for the government when you have felonies or stuff like that. So a lot of times people just say, forget it. Mm-hmm. I'll keep doing, you know, I won't change. So it's just a lack of resources now too. Before they didn't have any, they wouldn't help anybody like that. They wouldn't, there was not a lot of help like that. Mm-hmm. There was help, but they wouldn't advertise it. And, but for me, just the resources, the rehab, the, let's say women get abused, there's shelters for them, mm-hmm. Just to reach out. Yeah. I mean, advice would I give? It's just to continue funding these programs, because there's people out there that, like me, that would reach out and look for help. And there are people that, those people would change their lives. Mm-hmm. It would change everybody's life, but at least there's not everybody's bad. The people to save those programs for the people that need it.
Yeah,
to save those programs for the people that need it, because even when you grow up, even when I left the program, luckily that I took people out on pass. I donated for the cause also too, because it helped me. So yeah, I think that mm-hmm. I would recommend people to continue funding these programs and not give up on people, because we need we can't give up on them, because if not, then there will be a lot of bad people on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah, we have to save our kind, because if not, then if you know, there'll be a lot of bad people out there on the streets. Then you know, they'll break into our homes. They'll, you know, the school shootings break my mm-hmm. heart. You know, they break my heart. They make me cry. They put me on my knees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could just imagine the pain, the terror that people have to go through.
Yeah.
You know, these kids, you know, you never know. Mental health is a serious problem. Mm-hmm. We look like we're okay. I was a functioning addict. I'm what they call a functioning addict. I would use drugs, go to work, act normal, but nobody knew that I was struggling with myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what advice I would mm-hmm. give, to not give up on the programs.
Yeah.
In fact, to get more. Bring them into school, bring them into everywhere, schools, in the army, at work, there's workplace violence. You know, there should be someone that you could, you know, talk to about anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking to me.
No problem. I hope it helped. I hope it helped.
Yeah, I think it'll be really helpful for the high schoolers to learn about these problems.
All right, cool.
And, yeah, everything.
That's good.
Thank you.
Good luck with your life, Mama. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Awesome. Bye.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.